Hello,
here we are back in our favorite across the coast Zoom podcast.
You know, in LA, they have that thing like love songs from the coast.
Uh huh.
I feel like our podcast is like the love podcast from both coasts.
I love that. And now that's the only thing that it is called. This is Natalie and Kristen bringing you sweet love coast to coast.
So friends, welcome to the Create podcast. If you're new to us, Create stands for Community Reclaiming Every Artist's True Expression, because we believe you're an artist. We believe everyone's an artist. We are both artists, and we believe that everyone is here for a purpose, and we want to help activate and enliven that purpose and have it feel really fun and juicy and joyous to go after the things of your heart that you really want.
That's the only thing I want to say over and over again. Make it fun and juicy and joyous to go after what you want. And know that thing wants you too.
It wants you too. Otherwise, you wouldn't have it. It's like it was the one that made the first move. It's already inside you. I mean, if we want to be real dirty.
It's already yours. That's got your name on it. It wants to be all up inside you. What are we talking about?
So for this podcast this week, like we said, Kristen and I are coast to coast. I'm in New York. Kristen is in San Diego. And so we wanted to talk about something this week. I love it when Kristen says, here's what the podcast for next week is, because it's always something that I'd never want to talk about. And it always ends up being the most lovely, perfect thing to talk about. And this week we're talking about your mess is your message.
And where this came from was that I was in at Agape last Sunday. So today's Sunday. So it was a week ago today. And in the evocation, one of the women who was giving it said, let your mess become your message. And everything inside my body went, well, that's our podcast topic. And I've heard people say that before, but I thought, be really interesting to go deeper into it, especially when you and I talk about joy, fun, pleasure, all of that being the activation for your dreams, going on the path of your dharma, where the mess comes in.
Yeah.
Because we know that being a human being, you're going to have mess, and there's going to be some pain that comes up. And as we talk about, suffering teaches you how to live your life without suffering. So how do we integrate this, the human vulnerability and messiness of life? And how do we hold that in one hand and also hold in the other hand joy and play and pleasure and dreams? Where do the two come together?
Right. And where do we see that if I'm in a pain moment, it doesn't mean that joy has to be separate. If I'm in a place that feels messy, it doesn't mean that I can't also experience self-love and compassion and joy. And I can't still see that there's a lot of beautiful things surrounding this mess. You know, the whole sky isn't falling, even if it feels like a big piece of the sky is falling on your head. There's still some joyous places. And, you know, a lot of what positive psychology says is that when you focus on the problem, then the problem gets bigger. When you focus on solutions, solutions get bigger and more prevalent. So we're sort of trained to be the fixers. We're trained to be the doers. We're trained to think that we have to be the problem solvers. But often we create problems on top of problems, because then we have the problem of not knowing how to solve the problem. And then we start to feel bad about ourselves, which becomes another problem. So we end up feeling underneath this weight of this even bigger mess than is actually present, when instead we could be really present with the mess. We're not saying to bypass the mess. I'm not suggesting in any way that if there's some deep pain coming up that you just say, well, I'm going to put that in the drawer and then go try to distract myself with joy. It's saying, let us be able to know that we can be fully present. Like you said, one in each hand, be fully present with whatever the mess, the pain, the rejection, the hurt, the heartbreak, and also know that it's not the only thing going on. So we can be present to a more expansive universe, so we too can be more expansive in whatever our experience is.
I was listening to our friend Kristen Bell on her podcast with Rob Bell talking about anxiety. And she said something this morning while I was on the treadmill about the entire universe is taking us towards transcendence and expansion. And inclusion. So that as we start to go into deeper and deeper levels of our life and deeper levels of growth, we are transcending maybe what became was a stumbling block before. As we become more expansive, we become bigger, and it includes it all. So right. We're not excluding a part of ourselves. We're saying, yes, you too, you come on the ride, get over here, mess, hop in my carriage. We're going to go have some fun. And you come along, I want you here.
And what's interesting as artists is that our job as artists is really to help heal the planet and to help evolve the planet to its next level. And the only way that we can really do that is being totally present to our own vulnerabilities and our own journey, which sometimes looks like roses and sometimes looks like weeds. And it's our job to tell the story of all of that.
Well, it's interesting because there's a microcosm there of the mess that's inside of us and then the mess that's in the world. So if we can just think of it this way, if you only focused on the mess in the world, first of all, so intense. Mm. How do I ever clean it up? Mm. And it would feel insurmountable and overwhelming. And in over-focusing on it, miss the rose gardens and the beautiful sunset and the wonderful conversation with your best friend.
Right.
But also no one wants to be the person who is unwilling to look at the suffering that goes on. Mm-hmm. So maybe today in our conversation, we can talk a little bit about how do we do it within ourselves? And then maybe that can extend a little bit in how we start to do it with our engagement with the rest of the world.
Right. Well, we always say that it's an inner game first, and everything has to start on the inside to then move into the outside. And what I think really moving through our own suffering allows us is a deep compassion and a deep empathy for ourselves. Yeah. And I think when we can see, you know, I was telling someone the other day, someone said to me, you know, when it's taken me so long to love myself and accept myself, and then I finally take a stand for that person and being that person, and then the people I love reject that, it feels like the most painful thing in the world. Mm. And I said, well, sometimes it's just about giving people the dignity of time to say, it took me 30 years to start loving myself. So if it takes them 30 days, 30 months, 30 years, I can have compassion for that because I know what that's like.
Yeah.
I know what it's like to try something and not get it. I know what it's like to look at my own stuff and say, I really want to change this about myself. I'm at rock bottom, and then make the same mistake again. So if I can see that I know my good intentions and my pure heart and how much I want this change or how much I want to evolve, and I can see where it gets sticky for me and where sometimes I fail and I fall and I stumble and it feels messy, then it allows me to have such a compassion for myself, which then allows me to extend that to the outside world. Because sometimes what happens with our perception of the outer world is we're only seeing the good parts, the highlights. We're only seeing what people want us to see. And we're comparing that to our real life circumstance, which is both lovely things and the messy, unlovable things that we think that we can't possibly show anyone. And so it creates more of a disconnect. So something happens when someone reveals to us their own humanness, their own weakness, their own limitations, where rather than that being a place of us judging or being self-righteous, when we're going through our own mess, we're often so much more in our capacity to have empathy and compassion and understanding, which creates a connective tissue for us to move closer. And in a world that is really designed on let's keep everyone separate, this is really the true healing.
Right, because keeping our mess in a place where it can't be seen keeps us in our separateness. And I was thinking as we were typing up our notes for this lecture about how we have been so taught in our culture, or at least I have been taught, don't let anybody see your mess. Right? If what's important is what it looks like on the outside. Does it look good? Do you look good? Are you presentable? It's like putting on the Sunday best and going to church. You're not supposed to let those ugly parts of you show. Just like how your parents don't want you to cry in public. Like, mm-hmm. lock away anything that feels uncomfortable. And often in family systems, people don't want to talk about what feels uncomfortable. I was telling you yesterday that my parents, we went for lunch, and my dad started to bring up some like really uncomfortable things from his past. And he was speaking so honestly. And a part of that is that he's getting older in years, and there's a vulnerability. And he was speaking about some stuff that was really difficult for him. And that allowed my mother to open up and share. And that allowed me to open up and share. And all of a sudden, there was all this visibility of this, of these uncomfortable emotions, which then let us talk about how we could love each other in a deeper way. And I was like, it's so interesting that here my parents are, and they're almost 80 years old, and they're finally letting me see their mess in a different way, which is actually allowing me to connect with them on a deeper level.
Yeah, and it allows the conversation and the relationship to evolve.
Yes.
Place. You know, I recently know someone whose husband just experienced a tragic brain surgery and has been having a difficult time reclaiming the function that he had before the surgery. And in this vulnerability, he looked at her and said, you know, I totally understand if you want to leave me.
Oh.
And for her, it's like the openness, the depth, the way he's expressive about how much he loves her and how grateful he is for her and how much he appreciates her is so much more now that he's in this more messy and less strong space. And it's created for her this feeling of, all of a sudden, I actually feel more connected to this man who I've been with for 20 years than I've ever felt. And it's at the time when he feels, quote, the weakest, that I feel our relationship is the strongest.
Yes. Oh, that's interesting. We actually feel stronger when we can meet each other in our vulnerability. And that's why we love art, is it connects us because we share this kind of humanness. I love when Pema Chodron talks about that in our imperfections, that's where the juice is. We don't want to cover it up. We actually want to go in there and relish it. And I wonder often in my own life, can I create a different relationship with the mess? If my whole life I've been taught, like, don't let anyone open that drawer, don't show anybody that yucky stuff. And so if I'm always feeling embarrassed about my own personal mess, like it somehow makes me unworthy or undeserving, I'm actually not allowing myself to be fully seen.
Right.
So that there's...
I remember something that you and I, you actually gave this to me, but you always said, sweet baby Kristen. Yeah. And I kind of stole it and started saying, sweet baby Natalie. And it was really just a term of endearment when I found myself in an unlovable state.
Yeah.
Instead of saying to myself, like, Natalie, you're being stupid. Natalie, you're being small. Natalie, you're not being enough. Natalie, how could you do this? How could you mess up so badly? Instead saying, sweet baby Natalie, like, what an interesting thing you did there, you know?
Yes.
You know, like, I have so much compassion for how scared you are right now, sweet baby Natalie. Like, you're acting like a crazy person because you're so scared or you're so, you know, triggered by something. Like, you sweet baby that's just doing your best and trying to learn and trying to evolve. And this is hard stuff. And there's something about that lens of compassion that really changes the conversation a lot.
Yes. I wonder for myself is, can I fall more deeply in love with my mess? So instead of getting mad at myself that I have mess, like, oh, look at all the areas of my life where that's so messy. Can I just love it? Can I just be like, get in my arms, you adorable mess. I see you. I see how complicated you are. I see all the different ways that you are asking for attention. Come here. I love you. I got you. As opposed to another way to beat ourselves up for ways that we think we aren't measuring up to some sort of standard.
Right. Right. You know, there's a, I just started reading Tasha Silver's new book.
I love her. I'm so sorry. Can we just have a quick second for what a goddess she is?
Love her. I don't know if you know this, but when I wrote my first book, I mean, I was so into her, and her prayers and affirmations were so instrumental in me taking the step to write my first book. I ended up like telling her about it, and she was like, send me a copy. I was like, how nice are you as a human being? She's just the sweetest. So she just came out with this new book, and she talks in this book, and I relate to her a lot because she has a lot of the same Eastern background that I do, the yogic texts. She studied them you know, in a really interesting way. And it's nice to hear someone else use that language. But she talks about in her book about the money, she talks about the yogis have this idea. I'm going to butcher the name, but it's a prarabdha karma. And it basically means, you know, many of us have heard karma before, which is kind of this idea of, you know, like what goes around comes around, or there's certain things that we're here to deal with based on things we've done in the past or haven't done in the past. But this law, the specific yogic law, says that each soul is born for a distinct curriculum. And we can't get out of it. Like our soul incarnated to learn certain things and to go through certain messes. And so our resistance to the mess actually just makes it impossible for us to fulfill why we're here.
That's right.
Mess is part of why we're here. And she actually talks about somewhere in her book, you know, that someone basically says, that you always think that like someone else's karma would be better to have than yours, but trust me, it's not. It's like you always think like what someone else has is easier, or like what someone else has would be better, but that your specific mess is specifically designed for what you are here to learn. And not only what you're here to learn, but who you are here to be on the planet, the gifts that you have, the talents that you're here to offer the world, the specific voice and expression that you are here to offer and express in the world is specifically designed around your mess as well. So if we resist the mess, going through the mess, embracing the mess, then we actually miss our entire purpose of being here.
Ooh, throw down Tasha Silver.
Oh, she's badass. You know, it's interesting. I was teaching this class last night, and part of it was for actors. And part of what we were doing, we're looking at their materials and trying to help actors understand how they can be more authentic in what they're expressing. And over and over and over, and I know this isn't just an actress thing, but certainly there feels like there's a lot of pressure in the acting community. But over and over and over, these very extraordinary women were showing us these headshots that were like blown out so that everybody looked like a supermodel, right? And it was this feeling of looking at this beautiful human being in front of me and then looking at this blown out picture that was kind of a cookie cutter. It almost reminded me of that television show they did years ago. I think it was called The Swan or something. Yes. And they gave all these women all this plastic surgery. And then at the end, it was like, you know, they were all like beauty queens, but they all looked exactly the same. Like all of their individuation and authentic, like, you know, the way one person's nose just went a little to one side, or the way one eyebrow was a little higher, the little lines on their face, all of that was taken away. And then there was just this kind of vacant one note, one flower in the garden situation. And so what I was trying to say to all these women last night is show your wrinkles, show the lines, show the wisdom, show the years, show the life that you've lived and the mess that you've gone through, because that is a human being who can tell a story as an artist. That's a human being who someone watching the television can relate to and say, I know that. I know that face. I know that experience. I know that expression. I've lived that, right? As opposed to trying to be this perfect, unattainable thing that you think is what someone else wants, but actually takes you further away from your specific expression that only you came here to give.
That's right. And if our mess is intricately linked to our message or to our dharma or why we've incarnated, that if we are always holding it at arm's distance and we won't get intimate with it, then we're always holding our unique purpose on the planet at arm's distance. And the vision that comes to me is this thought of, you know, when you were a kid and used to get in the mud and used to have fun, like rubbing it around your body. Do you ever like really enjoy getting messy and start to take joy in the ridiculous mess of it all?
Yes. But
there is a pleasure, a joy. There is a feeling of rapture that can occur when we fully give ourselves over to our mess and integrate it into our being in a way that can lift us. Right. So instead of it becoming this heavy thing that pulls us down, it can actually start to lift us up.
Right.
If we fully surrender to it. Because I think that's the thing is when there's a tension with it.
Yes, I agree. The resistance, the tension, the opposition to it, the making it wrong.
Right. The enemy relationship with it.
There's something about the mess that is inherently connected to who you are.
Yes.
And so if you reject it, then you're really in a place of self-rejection. And if you're in a place of self-rejection, then there's no way that the world can accept you on your behalf.
Then you're going to always feel a little bit rejected by the world. And what you right. don't realize is you've created that system of rejection first.
Right, right.
You know that I like Carolyn Elliott. She's that woman that does Witch Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And she sends out these really cool newsletters. And she had this one and she, where she was talking. We're doing a new seminar with a man that I believe his name's Dave something. But they were talking about the emotion of eros love, like erotic love.
Oh, when you sent this to me, mm-hmm. my whole body lit on fire. And I was literally just about to open my mouth to say, can you talk about this? And then you just said it. So,
well it's so funny because
while I stroke my hair,
I was reading their theories about erotic love and they were talking about bringing erotic love into how you engage with the world. That, you know, there's some things in your life that feel fun and like, it's easy to go out on a date with a hot straight, like new person, right?
Yes.
That already feels fun. It already feels fun to talk about going to have a beautiful lunch with you. That already feels fun because I am bringing the energy of a certain kind of sensuality, of eros, of romantic, erotic love to that event without trying.
Yes.
But what we do is we label certain things. This is where I allow my sensual self to be. And this is where I do not allow my sensual self to be. And when we can allow our sensual and erotic self to engage with all of life, knowing that all of life is divine, that then this experience of drinking this glass of water can become something erotic.
Yes. Well,
so,
you know what's so fascinating?
Yeah, like cleaning out our closet can become erotic, basically.
Right, right. Well, earlier when we were talking about when you said, you know, when you were a kid and you're playing in the mud and you have all of this like joy and feeling around it, what came up in my mind is I had a childhood friend very dear to me, Charity White. And we used to always go to her house and she lived on a farm and we used to like play in the mud, like mud fights. And because she lived on a farm, like we'd just go out in the farm and like hose ourselves down. So it was like never a big deal. Her parents were like so cool with the whole thing. And I remember one day on the farm seeing a baby cow born. And it was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen and the coolest, like seeing this big mama cow just making the most ungodly noises and panting and breathing and mess and chaos. And then all of a sudden this like slimy body shoots out of her body onto the hay. There's like blood everywhere. And we were all sobbing. Like it was the most magical, disgusting, messy experience. And that reminds me of the creation process is this messy. The birthing process is messy. The process of becoming something we've never become before is messy. And part of it is, you know, sexuality. When you're in that experience, when you're in the throes of that with someone, it can be messy. And there's, you know, like not to be crude, but there's fluids, there's everything. It's just a disaster, right? And it's supposed to be. And so it's like activating that in our everyday reality, that we're not always so busy cleaning everything up and making things look good. We're actually interested in what happens when we mess it up, when we color outside the lines, when we do what's never been done before, when we take a risk, when we, you know, say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, when we let ourselves just be in our authentic expression, even if it feels like it might be rejected because mm-hmm. it's too much or too loud or too messy or too whatever. There's something really magnificent that is born out of life through that process, through the process of nature. And there's something about us also being nature that has to trust and activate that about ourselves in order for us to feel the fullness of our experience here.
That's exactly right. And from that place, when we fully enter into our mess, we let it break us open. We let it get erotic and up in our hair, that then broken open, surrendered to it, we can allow our mess to start to teach us. I have a story.
Yes.
It goes all the way back to like 2005. And it was in the first.
First
like LA production of Rock of Ages, like after our first workshop when we tried to do it at a rock club. And I, like Laura Bell Bundy was in it and Chris Hardwick and Dan Finnerty and Kyle Gass, all these people. And after the very first performance at this nightclub, it was so long that the nightclub owner was like, in a very intimidating way, came to my producers and said, you have to cut the show by half an hour tonight. Legend has it, friends, and I will say this in the podcast, that there might have been like a really intense intimidation that felt almost mob-like. Yes. Like where my producers came to me being like, we have to cut it by a half an hour tonight. And I didn't know how to do it. I was like, and here I am. I'm maybe... What was it? How old was I? 26, 27? Having no idea how I was going to cut a half an hour out of the show in just a couple hours. But I had to go talk to my cast. And I remember I was going through my own spiritual transformation at that time. And in the past, I would have tried to be a leader who had it all together and had a plan. But I didn't have it all together and I didn't have a plan. And I went to my cast and something inside of me just said, be where you are right now. And I just started crying in front of my cast of like 35. And I was like, here's what we have to do. I don't know how we're going to do it. And all these people just looked at me and they like, I felt the empathy in their hearts break open. And they were like, we got you. We're in this together. It's going to be okay. And where I thought, because I was the leader, I had to be the one that was the comfort and the direction for everyone, what the moment called for was actually to let my mess show. Mm. And from that place, there became unification.
Wow.
And the solution happened. And somehow, and I have no idea looking back how it happened, but we did get a half an hour out of the show. But for me, the learning point was that it was okay to stand in front of a group of people and not have the answers and just to cry.
That's it. That's it. Because that's all I had. That moment. Everyone, that's a universal mess. I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do.
The universal mess to say, I don't know what to do. It's a universal mess to say, you know, I'm scared. It's a universal mess to say, I'm hurting. I'm in pain. I'm at a loss. I'm confused. I'm scared. These are the things that we try to avoid by walking in like we know it all. We have it all. We've got it. But I always think the person who looks like they've got it all under control is never the person that someone says, hey, can I get you something? Can I help you with something? Because you just assume they've got it. But all of us are desperately craving that love and attention from someone. We're all desperately craving someone to come and take our hand and say, what do you need? How can I be here for you? How can I support you? But we set ourselves up in a way where we don't make ourselves available for that when we try to walk around with this bravado that we've already got it all figured out. So there's something about the mess of just saying, I don't know.
Well, I don't even know if you feel this, but I know I feel this all the time. And I remember especially feeling this. I mean, I feel it today and I felt it especially at a certain point. I'm trying to think what year it was. 2011 or 12, when I had been in the time where I had been teaching a lot in Los Angeles and doing a lot of classes with writers that were in the metaphysical world and really watching people start to go for their dreams and people starting to have big wins and it started to expand past just artists and it was people. And I'd find myself teaching. And I also found that at that moment in my life was like blowing up. And there was some shit going down that was like not cool. Like I felt so lost in my own life. And I was like, how can I teach anyone? How can I lead anyone? And I felt that feeling of like, I didn't want to teach anymore because I didn't want anyone coming to me for direction because I felt so lost. And I know I've shared this story on the podcast, but I saw one of my favorite spiritual teachers have a complete meltdown. And
yes,
I was
you told
right.
Me this set me free.
It set me free. Oh. Like, I literally felt like it was God showing me this. But I saw one of my favorite spiritual teachers have a total intense, like gargantuan size meltdown, and they didn't know I was there. It happened like backstage in an event once. And I never felt so free in my whole life because I was like, I know that person channels the divine and they're totally human. I'm allowed to be totally human too. I'm allowed to have nothing together. I'm allowed to be in the depth of my human mess and also to talk about the divine and how the divine is also doing miracles for me and let other people know that the divine can do miracles for them, even though I don't have it figured out and I'm going to be on this planet as long as I will be here, always holding one in each hand.
That's the thing, right? So many people are scared to say, I'm an actor or I'm a creator or I'm even a mother because you feel like you don't know how to do it.
Yes.
But nobody knows how to do it. Or you feel like you need a certain amount of credits before you can say that. Or you feel like you can't say you're a spiritual teacher if you're not acting spiritual every second of your life. But that's not the point. The point is you're on a path embracing all the pieces of your humanity. And for me, the point of a spiritual seeker is just the person who's asking the next leading question. Not to say I have any more answers than anyone, just to say I'm willing to ask the uncomfortable question, or I'm willing to ask the leading question, or I'm willing to ask the question that leads me further from my ego and closer to trust in something bigger. That's all it is. It's not to say that we have to have anything figured out. It's not even to say you have to be a good or bad person, you know? It's just to say you're just curious and open and saying, I'm doing my best to let my heart lead, and I do it imperfectly. And to me, those are the kind of teachers and spiritual leaders that I look up to the most.
Right. And I even feel the deeper I go on my path, the only thing that feels true is I don't know, but I'm going to move to the next thing that feels right.
Right. I feel like I know less and less the further.
Less. Yeah. 100%. And
the insecurity gets bigger. Yes. The doubt gets bigger.
Yes.
The desire to be more perfect gets bigger. The bigger my life gets, the bigger get the mess. And that's the point. So that's why I have to embrace the mess and see it as my teacher and see it as my gift, because it's not going anywhere. And if anything, the closer I get to being more self-expressed, more authentic, more living my truth, more living my dharma, the bigger the mess is going to get.
Yes. So can we say yes to a bigger mess?
Yes to the mess.
Yes to the mess. Yes has been a big word for us recently.
Oh, yes is our favorite word.
And embracing the I don't know-ness of the mess. The mess means I am leading you somewhere you've never been before. I have torn up everything, all the structures, all the foundations, so that I might build something new. Can you walk through the debris as something new is revealing itself? Can we be brave enough just to take the next step towards what feels like it might be calling us, what feels like it might be the what feels light, as Kyle Cease talks about, where the charm is, what feels warm. Let's go in those directions and say, something new is happening here, and my mess is the thing that is leading me. Oh, by the way, because we posted on our Cute Create Facebook page.
Yes.
Our dear friend, I'm pulling it up right now.
Oh, you know what? I had the same thought and I pulled it up earlier.
You did. You're the, well, duh.
Sweet Jennifer.
Should we trade off paragraphs?
Yes. So first of all, Jennifer says, sorry for the long post. Jennifer, never apologize. It's our favorite thing. But she loves the topic and she loves this quote from Robin Roberts. I believe in this wholeheartedly because whatever happens to us, good or bad, especially during bad times, it's important to figure out what the moment is teaching us, even if it totally sucks. It's so easy during the sucky times to want to withdraw and feel sorry for yourself. But you really need to say, okay, universe, I got the message. I'd like to move forward now. And if you can't do that, if you're stuck feeling sorry for yourself 24/7, a little self-pity is natural, but then you have to pull yourself out of it. And maybe the biggest thing you learn from it is what you don't want in your life. And that's huge. And you realize what you want to increase in your life, like joy and love for yourself or better boundaries.
Next paragraph. When I had cancer in 2009 and was going through 6 months of chemo, I learned a lot. When you're literally faced with your own mortality, the BS of life truly falls away. I learned that I needed to put myself on the list of priorities and that it was okay to do things that make me happy more often. I learned to ask for what I need and actually accept help when people offer it, and I truly need it. In the past, I thought I had to do it all on my own and not accept help, even if I needed it and wanted it badly. I had a moment during treatments where I was paralyzed by certain fears. Was I going to die? Would my children grow up without a mother? They were 7 and 3 at the time. I was having all of these thoughts that made me so sad. One day on my way to a doctor appointment, I was by myself in the car. I decided to say these thoughts out loud and have a conversation with the universe. So I literally voiced all of the fears I was having out loud right then in the car. What I found out after was that once I said them out loud, they didn't have the same power over me. It didn't make them disappear, but by not talking about them, they were even bigger in my mind. It's like seeing a scary shadow in the dark and then turning on the light and realizing it's just your sweater casting a weird shadow.
Mm. She says, I've been in remission for a long time, but I think of that cancer diagnosis as a sweet little devil on my shoulder, reminding me to be true to myself and make the most of my life. Reminding me that being creative feeds my soul. It might sound morbid, but I think it's a great exercise for people who haven't experienced this to imagine if they were given a tragic diagnosis. What would you do differently with your life? What would you change? What would you keep the same? I think there's a quote by Wayne Dyer, something about how would you live your life differently if you didn't worry what anyone else thought of it? I love to tell my children, as long as you're not hurting anyone, do whatever makes you happy in life and what lights you up. And don't worry what anyone else has to say about it. That was the big lesson I needed to learn and still remind myself on a regular basis. Oh, thank you. That was just amazing. And I do believe that. I believe that, you know, one thing Tasha says in her book is, you know, great sages get cancer. You know, Jesus Christ didn't exactly have the best life. You know, like really good people have hard, difficult things happen to them. And it's not about, you know, trying to live your life free from the mess or free from stimulus. It's really just about embracing it and saying part of the reality of being human is I'm going to experience the contrast of all those things. And can I learn acceptance for it?
That's it. That's exactly right. Whew.
Oh, so good. So let us accept. Let us accept with open arms whatever mess is in our life, whether it's the mess of people pleasing, whether it's the mess of not good enough, whether it's the mess of I don't know, whether it's the mess of a diagnosis that's difficult, a mess of an ailing family member, a mess of a financial, you know, a mess of not knowing how to love your body as it is. There's a lot of ways the mess can show up in our life. But instead of rejecting it, can we start from a place of acceptance? I see you and I know that you are part of my karma. You are part of what I'm here to learn. You're part of how I'm here to express myself. So I know that you are a gift if I can just accept you and even move into a place of loving you and wanting to be closer to you and more in commitment and relationship with you, more intimate with you. So rather than pushing you away, teach me what you're here to learn. Teach me what you're here to offer me. Show me why you showed up in my life at this time and show me what gift is in this for me. And if I can't see it, let me just pray that my eyes will be open and open and open to staying in the conversation.
Right. When we get really grateful for our mess, really, truly glad that it is here, even if that feels silly, we can just start saying, thank you for being here. I know that you're showing me. I know that you want to talk to me. I'm going to keep saying thank you for you until it becomes revealed why you are here. May I pull you closer, deeper into my heart, like I want life to embrace me. Mm. May I embrace that, all those parts of myself.
And as we start to embrace our own mess, then all of life can embrace all of us.
Yeah. There's a quote here by Eugene Kennedy that I love. And it says, if you ask people what attracted them to the person they love, they never tell you of some perfect feature that focused them on sheer surfaces, but rather an imperfection that allowed them to see into their uncharted depths.
Mm. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to be human, and it's beautiful to learn how to have an open hand with all of life so that we truly feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the shifting tides and the changing circumstance, we can truly feel safe knowing that we are held in our own arms of love and acceptance, and that whatever shows up, we were given ourselves, which is the exact person and thing we need to move through it with grace and ease and even joy.
It's like our mess is the the divine has handed us a ticket for an amusement park ride.
Yeah.
Like it's giving us this ticket to an adventure that is really thrilling and really exciting and tailor-made for us. And often I think we want to know how someone else did their mess, but we can't do our mess the way someone else did. We can take tidbits. We can learn a little bit about what someone else's ride was like, and maybe there will be some helpful stuff, and maybe there'll be some things we can incorporate. But really, it's our own.
Yeah.
And the only way that we ride this beautiful ride is by getting on it and putting our hands up in the air and going.
Yeah. Oh, it's a joy to be alive. Good, bad, and ugly.
And whatever doesn't kill us makes us funnier.
That was funny, Kristen Hange.
Thank you.
If you guys loved this podcast, we just encourage you to share it with someone that you think might enjoy it. You know, we have lots and lots of podcasts on here. And if it brought you any strength or hope or inspiration, then just share it with someone who may be going through their own mess and needing a little compassion to help with the process. And sometimes just that little simple act of, I was thinking of you and here's something for you, can mean a lot and go a long way.
We love you so much. We're so proud of you. We're proud of you for being on the path of your dreams, for having fun on this planet. And as you live in this beautiful incarnation, to enjoy it and live it up. And also, way to be brave and accept your mess and accept it with a full and loving heart. That is what makes you a hero.
And if you want to be brave and vulnerable and even share your mess with our community, you can come to our Create Community Facebook page. It's the acronym for Create, C.R.E.A.T.E., Create Community Facebook page. And you can share. You can share what your mess is and what's coming up for you and with you. And I bet it'll really empower and help someone else in this community and help you to not feel so alone.
Thank you so much.
Love you.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.E. community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?